thoughts on studying the Bible. We've been looking now for some time at observing details. Began by observing or asking questions: who, what, when, where, why, how. We need to always, as we read Scripture, ask ourselves those questions and look for the answers, of course, to those questions. We've also looked at parts of speech, spent a lot of time on that. We finished with that last week, and again, as we look at a verse of Scripture or a passage of Scripture or a phrase or a clause, we need to observe words. Again, it's helpful to just write down every word in a verse to help us not to miss any word. Just make a list of every single word and read it in that way, because we do have a tendency to overlook words. I want to now look at observing the details of sentences in the Word of God. Again, it's important that we realize that even though every verse of Scripture begins with a capital letter, does not necessarily, in fact, most cases it doesn't, does not necessarily constitute a sentence. Maybe several verses to make a sentence. You may have several sentences in a verse. But again, don't think that a verse is a sentence. Again, verses are only there as locators, and we need to remember that. The Bible would be very difficult to read if there were no verses, no chapter divisions. They're there for our convenience, help us locate, and that's all they are. We need to always remember that. A sentence, of course, is clear in its meaning. It's a group of words expressing a complete thought. Must have a subject, must have a verb. To be grammatically complete, it has two parts: a subject and a predicate. The heart of the sentence, of course, is the subject. It's pretty difficult to understand anything that you're reading if you do not have any idea of what the subject is. So, and we've already been through all of that, but we need to recognize the subject. The rest of the sentence, beginning with the verb, centers upon the subject. It is a statement about the subject. And that statement about the subject is what is called the predicate. So a sentence must have a subject. The subject is what the sentence is about. It consists of a noun or a pronoun, in other words, a person, a place, or thing. Every sentence has that. There is a subject. How do we determine the subject? Well, one way to determine, of course, is to look for noun or pronoun. Another way is to ask who, to ask what. Ask who or what, and you can read a sentence, ask who or what, and you can find the subject. The predicate equals what is said about the subject. That's the details that we want to observe. It's the details about the subject. So it's helpful in understanding a sentence to always be mindful that the heart of the sentence is the subject. The rest of the sentence gives us the details about the subject, or the rest of the sentence centers upon the subject. The rest of the sentence is a statement about the subject. So we need to just keep that in mind. We'll give several examples. But the subject part of the sentence usually, but not always, usually ends at the verb. You have a subject, you have a verb, an act or a state of being. The predicate part of the sentence generally, but again, not always, generally begins at the verb. So the verb relates the subject and the predicate. Just a few simple examples. In Psalm 46, we'll just read it and then we'll go back. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. One way to find the subject again is to ask who or what. The answer to that's the first word, God. God is the subject of this sentence. That's our subject, God. Everything else in the sentence is about the subject. The very next word is a verb, is, which state of being. It's given us the state of being of God. God is. So we have our subject as God. Now, the predicate part of the sentence, that is, the statement about the subject, begins with the verb, is. So, God is, and then here's what He is, our refuge. And it would be good to just stop right there and meditate. Consider what a refuge consists of. But here's the statement about the subject. He's our refuge. He's our strength. A very present help. So the statement about the subject is, he's a refuge, he's strength, he's a very present help, and that is so in trouble. In Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Also, it's good, I think, It's good to, when you study the Scriptures, to make an outline. I think it's good if you read the Scriptures and you can immediately see an outline. And one of the ways to do that, again, is to focus in on the subject and then what is stated about the subject. And you have an instant outline. Verse 105, thy word, that's the subject, thy word. Then you have that verb, is. That's where the predicate begins. Now the statement about the subject begins. Thy word is, the statement about that is, it's a lamp unto our feet. In other words, it guides our steps. It's also a light unto my path, or the way in which we should go. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, Proverbs 4, verse 23. These are all familiar verses, very easy to point these things out in these verses. Keep Now, in this case, the verb precedes the subject. Usually, the verb follows the subject. But in this case, the verb precedes the subject. Keep, something we are to do. Thy heart, okay, there's the subject. Heart, thy heart is the subject. Now, again, the predicate part of the sentence begins with the verb. So, it tells us about our heart. We're to keep it. We're to guard it. It goes on to make statements. We're to keep it with all diligence. That tells us how we're to keep the heart. Again, we can ask the question, what? The heart. How are we to keep it? We're to keep it with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. So again, these verses just kind of outline themselves. Notice in Matthew chapter 4, and we've looked at this verse several times during this Sunday school series. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The subject here is Jesus. We see, then was Jesus led. That's the verb. That's where the predicate begins. Now he's going to make statements about Jesus. First of all, he was led. He was led up. How was he led? He was led of the Spirit. Now this is important because when you get to Matthew chapter 4, of course, the subject of those verses is the temptation of Jesus Christ. And this first verse, it's important to realize that God, the Holy Spirit, was directing this matter. He was led up of the Spirit. Where was he led to? Into the wilderness. Why was he led into the wilderness? And the one who led him certainly knew why. He was leading him into the wilderness. Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. To be tempted. And the better word there would be to be tested. To be tested. By who? The devil. So once again, you have the subject. You have statements about the subject. Notice in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And verse 8. Here we have the account of Jesus healing the man at the pool of Bethesda. In verse 8, Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Jesus, that's the subject. That's the subject here. The verb is saith. Jesus saith. That begins the predicate part of the sentence. It's going to be a statement about Jesus. Jesus saith unto him. Now, if you just read that verse at random, Jesus saith unto him, you're going to ask who? Jesus said unto who? Don't just read over a statement like that. Jesus said unto him. Well, to who? And, of course, you read back and you find out. But again, notice the statements about the subject. Jesus said unto him, "Rise." That's one thing he said. Another thing he said was, "Take up thy bed." So he said two things. But then there's another, "And walk." So again, you have an immediate outline. Jesus told this man to do three things: rise, take up thy bed and walk. And we see that there is an order there as well. In John chapter 10, verse 23. John 10, verse 23. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Jesus is the subject. The verb is walked. That's where the predicate part of the sentence begins. Jesus walked. Where? In the temple. But then he gets even more specific. In Solomon's porch. That portion of the temple. In John chapter 11, verse 1, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister, Martha. Now a certain man, that's the subject, that's the subject of this verse, was, that's the verb, indicating, again, a state of being. This man, he was sick. This man was named Lazarus. He lived in Bethany. Then he gives us some details about Bethany. It was also the town of Mary and her sister, Martha. So it gives us the relationship between Mary and Martha. There's a lot of information in that one sentence, John chapter 11, verse 1. Notice in Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children is the subject. Obey is the verb. What are they to do? They are to obey your parents. Then it gets even more specific. In the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. No better reason. For this is right. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I is the subject. Can do is the verb. And then you have statements about the subject. I can do all things. How? Through Christ. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Him is the subject. We need to find out who him is. Goes back to Christ in verse 8, the last word of verse 8. So we have our subject. It is Christ. Dwelleth is the verb. In him dwelleth. What dwells in Christ? All the fullness of the Godhead. All the fullness of the Godhead. How does it dwell in Christ? Bodily. All the fullness of the Godhead in Christ bodily. Now, there are also sentences, of course, that have two subjects. Some have three, some have four. But there are sentences that have two subjects, one predicate or one statement about the subject. Notice in the book of Numbers, chapter 14, book of Numbers, chapter 14, and verse 5, Numbers 14, verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Moses and Aaron is the subject. They're put on equal footing here. Moses and Aaron is the subject. Who is being talked about? Everything else in the sentence is a statement about Moses and Aaron. It says that they fell. That's the verb. That begins the predicate or the descriptive part of the sentence. They fell on their faces. That's important. If you just read, then Moses and Aaron fell, did they fall backward? How did they fall? They fall on their side. He tells us. They fell on their faces. Where? Before all the assembly, the congregation of the children of Israel. So you have a picture. There's a picture created in our minds of two men on their faces in front of an assembly, in front of a congregation of people. In this case, the children of Israel. Again, two subjects, one predicate. John chapter 10, verse 30. And this, of course, is very important. John 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. There's two subjects there. I being Jesus. Father, of course, being God the Father. So there's our two subjects. Then you have the verb, which begins the statements about the subject. Are. State of being. I and my Father, they're on equal footing. That's our subject. Are one. Doesn't get much plainer than that. There can be one subject, two predicates. Notice in the book of Exodus chapter 8, book of Exodus chapter 8, read verse 30. It says, and Moses, that would be the subject, went, there's our verb, beginning the statements about the subject. Moses went out from Pharaoh. That's a predicate. Moses, subject, predicate, went out from Pharaoh. And entreated, it's another verb, the Lord. He entreated the Lord. That's the second predicate. The first predicate is, went out from Pharaoh. The second predicate is, and entreated the Lord. Tells us what he did when, what, after he went out from Pharaoh, the reason he went out from Pharaoh. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 12, then the deputy, that's a subject, when he saw, that's the verb. And then the predicate, what was done? Now, we immediately ought to ask, well, what was done? And you read the verses before and you find out. Then we have another verb. He saw what was done and he believed. And the predicate of that is, and was astonished. Another verb. and then the predicate, at the doctrine of the Lord. Acts chapter 18 and verse 1. After these things, Paul, that's the subject. We, again, when we read after these things, we need to immediately ask what things. Don't just read over words like that, but go back and find out. So after these things, Paul, that's our subject, departed, that's the verb. The predicate is he departed from Athens and came, another verb, predicate, to Corinth. Notice in Psalm 40, verse 1, we have multiple subjects. Psalm 40 and verse 1. Again, when a sentence has more than one subject, and again, a way to follow that is to keep track of pronouns. When a sentence has more than one subject, it's good to study it in those two parts, or three parts, whatever. I, that's the subject, waited, that's the verb, tells us about the subject. It's a statement about the subject. I waited patiently. Tells us how he waited. For whom did he wait? For the Lord. Then notice, and he, different subject now. And he, and then you have the verb, inclined unto me and heard my cry. So again, we'll close there, but do observe parts of sentences. Again, it's good to be able to divide, to separate parts, and when we do that, I mean, eventually we put all the parts together, but there is great value in separating the parts in order to put them together. It just makes the Scriptures more plain. We're to rightly divide the Word of God. But keep in mind it all fits together. Let's look to the Lord and we're to pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace to us. And we thank you, Lord, for saving our souls. And we thank you for watching over us each and every day of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us to your house today and that you would speak to our hearts. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.